Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. Pastor Paul Blair and Pastor Dan Fisher, and we are trying to provide a biblical perspective of current cultural issues so that we as believers would be sons of Issachar in our generation, having proper understanding of the times. Dan, I want to start this week's broadcast. I want to read something to you.
Back, we hear
all this word about McCarthyism and McCarthy this and McCarthy that. What nobody recognizes. Senator McCarthy. What's that?
Yeah, oh, those were dark days.
We fail to recognize now we have discovered that McCarthy was right.
He was right.
We had communists infiltrating all over our federal government.
And now I would elect them to the presidency.
We still do. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But in 1963, in January of 1963, it was actually read into the congressional record, the 45-point plan. These were goals for the communist takeover of America without firing a shot. Let me just read a couple of them to you. Capture one or both political parties in the United States. Get control of schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda.
Wow.
Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Put the party line in textbooks. Here's another one. Use student riots to foment public protests against the programs or organizations which are under the communist
attack. Would those be mainly peaceful riots?
Mostly peaceful protests. Gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures.
Oh, well, they failed at that.
Folks, if you were to read this 45-point plan, you'd say, check. Oh, here's one. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and television. Well, yeah, we're there.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you a question based upon number 27. Number 27 says, infiltrate the churches. And by the way, this is so perfect for you because you have written a book on the Black Robe Regiment. You understand the role that pastors played in the founding and framing of our country, why we have been exceptional. But this says, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion, discredit the Bible, and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Now, with that stated goal, they want to infiltrate our seminaries, train our preachers to be Marxists.
Yeah.
Tell us about what we've heard this week at Mid-America.
Okay, well, yeah, one of the latest stories in the news is about what happened at Mid-America Seminary, which is really in Memphis. It's on the eastern side of Memphis. In fact, it's right across the highway from Bellevue Baptist Church, where Adrian Rogers was the pastor for years, and R.G. Lee before him. I think Bellevue actually donated 10 of the some 25 acres that the college sits on.
Wow.
So Bellevue was a part of Mid-America. Now, I'm sure back in those days, Mid-America was, you know, straight as an arrow doctrinally. And I would assume that they still are. I doubt that they have changed any of their doctrinal positions. But what has happened is, it was this week, I believe it happened, Trevor Loudon, who's a friend of ours, Trevor goes around the country. In fact, he's been here at Fairview numerous times. He has actually spoken at some of our pastors' training camps. Trevor is trying to warn America about the infiltration of communism via socialism, fascism, whatever form it takes. And so he has made this documentary entitled Enemies Within the Church, correct?
That's right.
And what he's doing is he's bringing to light this number 27 in the communist goal, because he's talking about how these enemies have infiltrated the church, and the church, therefore, has become decadent and apathetic, and we won't speak on these issues. So you take, for instance, I do this Black Robe presentation. Some of our listeners will have seen the presentation. Of course, you and I speak together, and you're
time.
As much a part of the Black Robe thing as I am. I just happen to be the guy that puts on the clown suit and does the deal. But, you know, a lot of people will say, well, Dan, you know, I would think that you're probably in Christian schools all over the place and probably in Christian colleges and universities. Actually, I could count on one hand the number of Bible colleges and Bible seminaries. That's zero for seminaries. I've been in one Bible college and even Christian schools. I think I've been in two or three Christian schools. Now, I've been doing that presentation for well over 15 years, and I've been in less than five. And so what happened with Trevor is... Previously,
Go ahead. Just note, how influential Christianity was in the birth of our country.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's why we were birthed.
Pilgrims were basically a church relocation project.
Yeah, they said it in their contract.
Massachusetts, founded by Puritans.
Yeah.
You had
yeah.
Rhode Island, started by the Baptist preacher, Roger Williams.
Yeah.
Connecticut, founded by a preacher, Thomas Hooker.
Yep.
Pennsylvania, right. by preacher, William Penn. Did Christianity play a role in why America has been different? Yes.
Well, Bill Federer, our yeah. friend, says that all 13 original colonies were founded by Christian denominations. Now, they might be denominations that
right.
we wouldn't agree
right.
with completely,
right.
like Quakers in Pennsylvania.
Their understanding of established church was a little different in their day.
That's exactly yeah. right. Mm-hmm. But all 13 yeah. are directly tied to some Christian denomination.
And in 1776, when we declared independence, uh-huh. you couldn't serve in any area of government
no.
unless you were a professing Christian.
Yeah.
What was it? Alice Baldwin, I believe, said that 98% of the colonists in 1776 were Protestant.
Yeah.
So 98% yeah. of the 3 million yeah. were Protestant, not yeah. just Christian, but Protestant.
Some of them
Christian.
May not have been born again. We
yeah.
don't know.
But they were Protestant.
They,
yeah.
But in their beliefs, in fact, you use it in your presentations, and so do I. You can look at some of these early state constitutions. They were still colonies, but they saw themselves already as independent. Where yeah. you had to swear yeah. that Jesus was your Lord and Savior before you could
serve.
Take office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's easier to join a Baptist church today.
So over time, we have taught pastors to stay out
oh,
of
yeah.
politics.
Oh, yeah, myth of separation of church
neutral.
And state. Yeah.
And now we've gone into reverse.
Makes sense.
Now we've gone to reverse. We yeah. went from drive, we're proactive in biblical principles of government. Then we went to neutral. Oh, we can't be involved in government. Now we're in reverse.
And telling you can't say anything.
The woke church.
No, it's exactly right. Yeah. So here's the deal with Trevor. He's made this yeah. video about enemies within the church, talking about the infiltration of the left into the evangelical church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And so he makes this video. It's a full-blown documentary, very well done. And sometime in the past, and I don't know when it was, that video was shown at Mid-America Seminary. Okay?
Separate right. event.
Great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So a group somehow gets permission to use one of the auditoriums at Mid-America. I don't know whether they rented it or it was they were just allowed to use it. But a separate group had Trevor to come back, mm-hmm. and this group was going to watch an mm-hmm. airing of this video.
And brought Trevor Loudon up from Florida.
Brought him up to speak
about
it. Yeah, because he produced
communism. The thing. Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the president of the seminary decided that he could not do it. And so they went in and let the event take place. Now get this. Here's Trevor up on stage. And they actually, the folks can Google it and you can see
yeah.
the footage.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is up there raving about why they're not going to be allowed to show the video, which is the primary reason they're all gathered there mm-hmm. to begin with. And one of the officials from the school, I don't recognize the gentleman, tries to be nice about mm-hmm. it, but he literally shuts Trevor down right in mid-presentation.
Stops
before they could ever even show
stage.
It.
Kind of like at University of Central Oklahoma when we had Ken Ham coming here a few years ago.
Exactly.
And remember, they didn't want this guy because he was pro-traditional or biblical marriage. We can't have him on our campus.
Oh, right. And
they
of course, he's going
to
talk
down.
About creation.
Course,
and
we're used to seeing that from secular
But that's a secular school.
Now we're seeing it even in our seminary. So
yeah.
it appears that Trevor's claim is accurate.
Yeah, and here's the thing about Mid-America. You understand they are yeah. in the buckle of the Bible Belt, and I think probably the school is still pretty solid.
R.G. Lee and Adrian Rogers are legends yeah. in Christianity.
So what that tells you, Paul, is that there's something behind the scenes,
yeah.
and I don't know exactly what it is, but I know what's been happening in the Southern Baptist Convention for the last mm-hmm. 15 or 20 years. Now, our church is kind of an independent church mm-hmm. in that we're not a part of any denomination.
Right.
Other than we're Baptists.
Right.
But for most of my ministry years, I was officially a Southern Baptist and pastoring a Southern Baptist church. And I watched the leftward drift of mm-hmm. the convention. Now, I was pretty young in those days, but in the mid-80s, Adrian Rogers, Charles Stanley,
mm-hmm.
W.A. Criswell, and those guys kind of took over the convention again and thought that they had made a big course correction and put it on the right path
mm-hmm.
again.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have guys like yep. J.D. Greer, who just served yep. two terms as the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, who probably is a good guy. I doubt that he's an evil, kind of wicked individual. But he takes a very soft stand on homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I've played excerpts from one of his sermons here at Fairview in a sermon that I was preaching to illustrate what's happening
mm-hmm.
in Baptist churches. So this thing with Trevor, yeah, the reason I think it's important is because it is a little symbol of a much deeper problem within the church, and why you and I think that this podcast and doing these training camps and me traveling around doing Black Robe and you travel around speaking is so important, and why pastors, if they don't engage and they think that their denomination is solid, they need to think again, because they're just not.
And it happens little by little, Daniel. Every yeah year, and Adrian Rogers retires.
Or dies.
And he's replaced by some new young seminary grad mm-hmm that's trained in this woke garbage.
Yep. Yep.
And the church has been drifting left, quite yeah frankly, more and more rapidly. You know, as you were talking, I couldn't help but think, you know, one of the things that got us started, you remember back in about 2008, I think it was just after we had done that first pulpit initiative with ADF, that one of our state senators, our state representatives
state
here,
rep,
actually she was the wife of a local Baptist preacher who was a good sure friend of ours, Steve Kern.
Yeah.
Sally had gone to a David Barton legislative update, and David had mentioned something about how the homosexual agenda was a greater threat to America than Islam.
Yeah.
Well, Sally, you know, David's a respected guy. We're good friends
sure
with David.
Sure.
Sally came back and repeated that to some of her constituents at a small gathering.
She's got a
and
gathering.
She was sabotaged because somebody there recorded,
they recorded it.
And they played it, and they made her out to try to look like the bad guy. They did everything
well,
they could to throw
her. Well, she hated homosexuals.
Out. Yeah, exactly.
Just so all of a sudden, because you disagree with them, you hate them.
Well, she just wants to see them get saved. She wants to get them
of
out of this life.
Of course she does.
Sure.
Of
so
course
all
she does.
But you remember, we rallied for Sally because they were calling for her. There was a small group of homosexuals that had a gathering of about three people down at the Capitol, and they were calling for Sally to be fired or resign. So we had a rally for Sally. And we had over 100 pastors from the state of Oklahoma gathered down there in very short notice.
Yeah.
We had a huge rally. Actually, we were at capacity inside the Capitol.
Well, there was more than 2,000.
They wouldn't let us bring any more in. I remember
security
said
we filled up that bottom floor. I remember. I know that building well. Served there.
What do you think? Now, this is now we're, what, 14 years later? That was 2008. Now here we are in 2022. Considering all these great warriors that were offended by this attack on Sally and this attack on biblical truth,
look at us now.
They're now retired and replaced by who knows who.
Yeah,
what kind of a turnout do you think we'd have now?
Oh, I don't think we'd have hardly anything. Well, let me take us a step further.
Yeah.
We have the right to marriage and right to life, and mm-hmm I think it may have been right to life, right mm-hmm to marriage bill
yep
that we were
yep
working
yep
through Protect Life, Protect mm-hmm Marriage, working through the legislature. We got it through. Governor promised she'd sign it. She
yep
vetoes it.
Yep.
Now, we had about 1,100 pastors that had signed on to it saying that they were all
yep
in.
Yep.
Well, completely supportive.
Yep.
Well, then the governor vetoes it, so we're going to try to do a veto
yep
override.
Yep.
I'm going to lead it in the
yep
House.
Yep.
Dom, Senator Nathan
yep
Dom's going to lead it in the
yep
Senate because he's the Senate author.
Right.
You know what happens? We have a rally.
Yep.
Now tell them what happened at the rally.
Well, we had a rally down at the Capitol with about 24 hours notice.
We had a good response.
We had a good response. We had about 700 or 800 people there.
Yeah,
very
we had
short
a good
notice.
Crowd.
But it dawned on me after that. By the way, our governor, we had pictures of our governor sneaking
yeah
out the back, our
yeah
Baptist or our Christian pro-life governor,
oh, yeah,
Mary Fallon, sneaking out the back door of the Capitol after she'd betrayed us and vetoed a bill she'd promised to sign. But afterwards, I stopped and did a little inventory. I thought, you know what? He had 750 people here on 24 hours notice. It wasn't that. And I thought, wait
maybe
a second.
20 or 25
yeah
pastors or 30,
yeah
you hope?
Yeah, but we had 1,127 pastors that had signed on in support of this.
Yeah.
We should have had at least 1,100 there. And then
yeah
if they had brought their wives, we should have had at least 2,200 there. And if those pastors had brought their chairman of the Board of Deacons and his wife, we should have easily had 5,000 there.
Yeah.
And then we did a little investigating. We found out that most of these pastors didn't even mention this effort to their churches.
Yeah, and they sure didn't show up at that
they
rally.
They sure didn't show up.
What did we have? Six or seven pastors
yep
there, maybe eight?
We had six or seven. We had a few. We had six or seven that spoke. We probably had maybe 10, 12 altogether. But
okay
out of 1,127,
yeah
you've got to be
that's
kidding.
That's an F minus in
yeah
grade. That's
that, that
a
is,
terrible
that
thing
is a salt that's staying inside the shaker.
No, that's exactly right. And so this whole thing with Trevor Loudon, Paul, mm-hmm is just another one
yep
of these reminders and, sadly, a confirmation
yep
that the church, the established church as
yep
we know it, and these denominations that have stood tough have now been so infiltrated. And oddly enough, this event actually is evidence that Trevor's video
yep
is correct.
Yep.
It
yep
actually ends up corroborating
yep
what he's saying in the video.
Yep. And you know what's funny is, so many of these pastors, as you know, why when a study was done by Barna on why pastors
yeah
wouldn't get involved, Tell us the stance.
Yeah, well, he asked the pastors, does the Bible teach on all these controversial subjects? And they all say yes.
This is George Barna, by the
way. Yeah, George Barna.
Great Christian
respect. And then he says, okay, are you going to preach on them? And they mostly all said no. And then he asked these preachers, why not? Why aren't you going to talk about these things? And the top two reasons that the pastors gave is it'll hurt the attendance in our churches and it'll hurt the size of the offerings.
Mm-hmm. You know what's nuts is the churches that we've seen come through our Liberty Pastors training camp, they're all growing because they are engaging.
There's
the people
pastor,
are hungry.
There's one pastor I'm thinking of, his church went from 100 to 700.
Yeah, at South Texas.
My gosh! Mm-hmm.
100 to 700 after taking this information and engaging. You know what? We are in a cultural war.
Yeah.
We are in a battle of truth. In fact, the Bible tells us to put on the armor of God daily.
Yeah.
These pastors.
This war's real.
If your pastor, if you don't know where your pastor stands on critical race theory, if you don't know where your pastor stands on, if he hasn't said anything about it, then you know. If you haven't heard your pastor talk about Black Lives Matter, the organization, if you haven't heard your pastor talk about the LGBTQ agenda or abortion
or transgenderism,
he hasn't
preached
on what's going on in education.
Or what about ESG? What is that? If you don't know what that is,
you need to find another church.
That's exactly right.
Because you're not, you're just part of a, you might as well join AMBUCS or Rotary because that's all you're getting accomplished.
And let me say something too, Paul. I think part of the problem is Christians are expecting a heretic to get into their pulpit and start blasting out things that are just horrible and so unbiblical. What actually happens is these pastors just go silent.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you take a generation or two of pastors not saying anything about something, people then begin to assume, well, there must not be anything to that, or the Bible doesn't deal with it because my preacher never talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
And see, what happens then is it doesn't take but another generation or so, and they're completely accepting of this, and they embrace it, and all of a sudden you've accomplished the goal without ever having to be heretical in the pulpit.
Yep.
These guys are silent. But see, the Bible talks not only about sins of commission, but sins of
omission.
Mm-hmm. And these guys are failing to preach the whole counsel of God. And I believe they're going to give an account to God for that just as much as a guy who preaches false things in the pulpit. I really do.
Think about it. We are supposed to be, we're called under shepherds. We're shepherds of God, the flock that God has entrusted to us. What's a shepherd do? Shepherd's supposed to lead and feed and protect his
flock.
Oh, I thought
he's supposed to kill and eat the sheep.
Yeah, apparently that's what most of them are doing.
That's what they're doing. Now, so Ezekiel says, you're a watchman on the wall. So you use the shepherd, I'll use the watchman on the wall. Now, notice there's no neutral position here. Mm-hmm. When God told Ezekiel about the watchman on the wall, he said he's got two options.
Yep.
He can either sound the alarm and I'll hold him guiltless, or he can be quiet and I'll blame him for the whole deal.
Yep.
And so the pastor really today only has two options. If he's silent, he actually said something. Yeah. What he said is, it's not important enough for me to deal with, and I'm too cowardly to do it.
And we have found by our own, what we've seen in our own church,
people
coming to our church, they have been hungry for leadership and guidance during these vaccine mandates and
all this
COVID nonsense and all the riots in the streets. They are hungry. The
mostly,
body of Christ is hungry to find
peaceful.
Out what's going on. Yeah. From a biblical perspective. So pastors, we encourage you to stand up and be watchmen on the wall. Be men of courage. Stand up like a David and protect your flock. And if your pastor at the church you attend does not engage, if he just insists on playing it safe, then, well, you need to find another church.
Yeah.
Go to our website. Go to libertypastors.com.
That's exactly right.
We've got about 1,000 pastors that have gone through our training camp. And on that website, on the front page, very easy to find. We've got a map of some of these pastors and where their churches are
located.
Black
robe preachers.
And,
modern
day Black robe regiment preachers. And we've got 3 more camps upcoming.
We got one
coming up in St. Louis in July. We've got one coming up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho in October. And then possibly, it looks like we're going to have one in Tulsa, Oklahoma in September, but that one's not finalized yet. But check our website, follow us, and make sure and give your pastor a gift. We have some Christian businessmen.
Yeah. Send them to these.
That subsidize these because they have such a passion for pastors to awaken and for Christianity in America to be effective once again. So heavily subsidized. It's about a $1,400 3-day trip, but it only costs the pastor $99. So you can send your pastor as a gift for his good service.
Yeah, and let me say too, Paul, that when they're at this, this is not just a regular conference. Yeah. This is not a pep rally. This is nuts and bolts classroom training on, number one, what does it mean to be a modern-day Black Robe preacher? And then, number two, how do you do it?
Yep.
So we not only show them what it is, we tell them how to do it. And if I could put in a shameless plug, if they want to find out more about what a Black Robe preacher is, they could go to my website at danfisherbrr.com, and you can get a copy of the book or the video. Yep. We did a documentary where they can kind of look at a 30,000-foot view. But people need to know. Most people don't even know who the Black Robe preacher was.
It's a great history that's been ignored on purpose. Quite frankly, it's part of the plan. Ignore it.
No, exactly right.
But go to our website, check this stuff out. In fact, the Liberty Pastors website, we've got links to our church, we've got links to Black Robe, we've got links to all the stuff. But go, all these resources are available there on the website. And then Dan's great book and DVD, highly recommend. But anyway, find out where your if your pastor's not leading, then recognize he's not leading.
No, that's right.
And if you're not being fed, then recognize you're starving to death spiritually. And quite frankly, we're living in a day and age where we're going to see that threat very practically on our persons and on our families.
Right.
So it's important that we address this woke nonsense, as Trevor is our good friend, and as we are seeing permeate the modern seminaries and churches, this woke indoctrination of our young people and the believers in America.
You know, Paul, what I like to tell people is that dark moments call for drastic measures.
Yeah.
And it's time for people to quit saying, well, I'll kind of go visit my pastor and see. He hadn't said anything about all this. We'll see if we can slowly change. We don't have time for that.
Yeah.
It's really a dark moment calls for drastic measures. Now, don't attack your pastor. We're not suggesting that. But probably if he hasn't spoken out by now, he's not going to.
Yep.
So just kind of quietly leave and go somewhere where they can hear
Jesus is not just the Lord of Sunday mornings. No, we're supposed to be followers of Christ in every area of our life. That's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If your pastor doesn't make a 24/7 disciple, then he's failing his job to make disciples.
So, exactly right.
Well, I think we probably irritated and annoyed and offended as many pastors as we can in one 20-minute broadcast.
But maybe we challenged a few.
I hope so.
You bet.
If we made a difference in even one or two, it'll be worth it.
It's worth it.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Until then,
God bless you.